Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry, clean feel all day.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Let's go!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Deshaun Watson has been suspended.
Deshaun, he wants to be the best version of himself.
6 regular season games and no fine.
The Rich Eisen Show.
The headline from here is simple. It's not enough.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network reporter Tom Pelissero. Still to come. Basketball Hall of Famer Shaquille O'Neal. Vikings running back Dalvin Cook. Plus comedian Paul Verzi. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Hour number 2 of this crazy mixed up Tuesday edition of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air on Peacock, Sirius XM 85 terrestrial radio affiliates. We say hello to you joining us for hour number 2 of this show on a Tuesday, along with our Odyssey listeners, our podcast listeners, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. For all of that, the commissioner's office in the NFL, very, very busy. Stephen Ross has been suspended, the owner of the Dolphins, today for the allegations that came to light in Brian Flores' lawsuit against the team after being fired, in which he said that, by the way, they were tampering with a very famous player. I'm paraphrasing the lawsuit. And also saying that the owner of the Dolphins offered to tank, offered to give $100,000 to the coach in order to lose games. Both the owner and the coach in question, Stephen Ross and Brian Flores, have issued statements, and we'll get to that on the program shortly. But I believe Mr. O'Neal is calling into the show right now. Christopher, did I see that properly?
You did.
Joining us on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is one of the all-time greats. I love this man, and I'm not just saying it because he could hear me introduce him. From the world of the NBA on TNT and inside the NBA and the NBA Hall of Fame, and the only all-time greats joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is my buddy Shaquille O'Neal. How you doing, Shaq?
Hey, sir. How are you? Can you hear me?
I can hear you like you're sitting next to me almost. That's how I can hear you.
I am in the same city as you are, sir.
I love it. The City of Angels. I love it. All right, Shaq, let me just jump into it. When you think of Bill Russell, you think of what? What do you think?
Top 2 greatest big men ever. One of the nicest gentlemen ever. I learned from him. He made me realize I was a spoiled brat when I was complaining. What I mean by that, when I first met Bill Russell, high, jovial, giggly, and he started telling me stories I had no idea of, like couldn't stay in the same hotel with your teammates and people throwing things at you and death threats and this and that. I was like, you know what? I'm going to stop complaining, because it was for guys like him and Wilt Chamberlain and Kareem. They paved the way for me. Barkley, those guys, Magic, they paved the way for me to make a lot of money. So by listening to all the stories that Mr. Bill Russell told me, I just said, stop complaining. Stop complaining about anything. Don't say nothing. You make a good living because of what all these people had to go through. And he was the first legendary big man that was nice to me. Huh. Like, Kareem didn't say much. Will didn't say much. And then when I met Mr. Russell, it was a hug and sit down and I did this and I did that and I like this and I like that. He was the nicest guy I've ever met in my life, really.
So we're seeing, I guess, at an award show of Bill Russell at the microphone, and there you are, flanked by what looks like David Robinson and was that Zoe, Mutombo and Kareem on the stage, and there you are. And he was a funny guy too, Bill Russell, right, Shaq?
He was funny. The photograph you're speaking of, I think that was at the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to have him at our Hall of Fame, it was like wow. Because Dr. J was my guy, and he was the only one I really paid attention to. But when I started getting taller, my father pulled me outside one time. He just kept mentioning three names every time I went outside. Yo, man, you need to play defense like Bill Russell. You need to get a, you know, unstoppable move like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You need to be the most powerful big guy like Wilt Chamberlain. I just kept hearing those names. And then when I finally decided to do my own research, I was like, oh, I wish I could be as good as these guys. Like, you know, like when you're a kid and you're okay and, you know, you look at the guys that are at the apex of their career and you realize you're not even close, sometimes it gets you a little discouraged. I was like, oh, I don't know, Dad. I don't think I could be as good as these guys. But then when I was coming in, I was starting to gain confidence, and I made a call one day. I told my agent, Leonard Armato, I said, hey, I want to do a commercial where all the greatest big men are inside this plasmic portal thing, because I want to let the world know I'm coming. And what I'm coming for, I want to be recognized as them when I'm done playing. So he made the call with all the greats, and they all accepted. I was like, oh, my God. And I got to meet the greatest big guys ever in one day on a commercial shoot. That was a don't fake the fuck on a Nasty Duck commercial shoot. Kareem was there, Wilt was there, Bill Russell was there, Bill Walton was there, and the legendary John Wooden was also there. That was like one of my greatest days. But Mr. Russell, he will definitely be missed. You are correct. He was a funny guy. He was a nice guy, and he just told me so many stories, and he's definitely going to be missed.
The great Shaquille O'Neal here on the Rich Eisen Show. When you said you stopped complaining and you realized that you were spoiled when you talked to Bill Russell and you heard about all the moments he had to deal with, racism and hatred being thrown at him, even in his own home when people broke in when he was gone out of the city that he brought so many championships to. Did he, when he was talking to you about his experiences, did he tell you, hey, you know, you're complaining too much, or you just glean that on your own?
I just realized it. Look, a lot of times you can see the title of a book. Oh, he's a great player, best player ever. But then when you open the book, you're like, oh my God, he had to go through all this. So this is like the first time I met him. He was sitting down. I think he was at the Four Seasons. He was just drinking water and he was just telling me stories. I didn't get to tell a word out. He was just. And, you know, he was happily telling me these stories, but I'm like, damn, y'all didn't travel private? Damn, you didn't get to stay in the hotel? Like me, every hotel I went to, I had to have the biggest suite, Rich.
Yes.
It's just how it was. And he was like, man, we had to stay in other hotels, and we couldn't drink water out the waterfront. And I actually felt bad. And these guys are the greatest players ever, and they didn't even make one-fourth of the money that we made. So I decided to myself, okay, I'm going to stop complaining, and I'm going to play hard for these guys. I'm going to let them know, thank you, I appreciate you, and, you know, whatever you need. So nobody had to tell me. I was smart enough and conscious enough to realize that, hey, you're a spoiled brat. You're not even that good yet. You get swept every year in the playoffs. Shut your face up, pick your game up, and start winning championships.
Shaquille O'Neal here on the Rich Eisen Show. So when was the last time you saw Bill Russell, Shaq, remember?
I know it was. I want to say the All Star Game, but I'm not sure.
Could have been the 75th anniversary moment. Is what you're saying?
Yes, exactly.
And yes. I imagine him walking in the room would be similar. I at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I've gotten to see how the players, new Hall of Famers, and also older Hall of Famers, certainly the running backs, felt when Jim Brown walked in the room. It was.
Right.
You know, it was Mr. Brown, that this is the GOAT. Everybody was deferential to him on the spot. I imagine it's the same thing with big men and Russell as well.
It is.
In those things.
And, you
right.
know, I get tickled when people say, rate the best big men in the game. I will never be as good as the top three. I'm close. I'll never be as good. Bill has 11 championships. Kareem has 6. Wilt was the most dominant player ever. I'm happy with the fact that I can be mentioned in the same breath. Because you know why I'm happy? Because at 19 years old, a drill sergeant took me on the basketball court and said, you can be exactly like those three guys. And I believed him, and I listened to him, and it's here. So it doesn't matter to me, oh, should I get a big thing or whatever. As long as I'm mentioned with those guys, trust me, I'm more than happy. Bill Russell and Wilt and Kareem, greatest big guys ever in the history. There would never be anybody as close to them. You know, especially, you know, the way the game has evolved now. There'll never be another another, you know, trio like that.
No, I know, I probably know the answer to it, but I'll ask it anyway. Do you think the association, do you think the NBA should retire number six forevermore, similar to the way that baseball retired 42?
I would say yes. And Adam Silver is a fine gentleman. I know he's going to do the right thing, but that's a good recommendation, Rich. And I think you should put that out. But I would say, yeah, retire it. No more sixes.
Yeah, that everyone who wears it now gets to wear it for the rest of their career. LeBron being the perfect example of that right here in Los Angeles. And then when everyone else is done with six, that's it. We put the banner in the rafters everywhere, every arena in the NBA. Bill Russell's six hangs. I think that should be great.
You should open up Rich Eisen Law Firms. That was a very nice little poll that you just threw in there for your guy LeBron. Great job, Rich.
Yes, my guy LeBron. That's how I refer to him all the time. Well, yeah. I mean, just, you know, he's the most famous number six. That's why I threw it out there.
No, he is. You know? But I like that loophole. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Shaquille O'Neal with the check mark right there here on the Rich Eisen Show. Before I let you go on your day, a couple of questions for you on the current NBA. If you were the Celtics, would you trade for Durant? Would you cough up Jaylen Brown and others for Durant right now, Shaquille?
No. Not at all. We have a young nucleus that we can build and we can trust. I'd keep him. And hey, I don't know what everybody else was watching, but Jaylen was hanging pretty tough with Durant. Looked like that to me. So, no. The answer is no.
That answer is no, then.
The answer is hell no.
I think that is a bigger level than just no. Yeah. Well, I mean, because Durant is still Durant, right? I mean, that's why.
And Jaylen had his way with Durant during the playoffs. Did y'all not see that?
I did see what the Celtics did to the Nets, but the Nets obviously were a bit of a mess. So you didn't.
So hey, I'm good.
What do you think is up there with Durant in Brooklyn, where he asked out 2 days after Kyrie said he's opting in? What do you think, Shaquille, is happening?
I wish I could jump into the mind of these young. Well, he's not young. I wish I could jump into the mind, but you know, my favorite saying, to each his own. You know, he's going to have to do what he's going to have to do to make his career successful. And he did. He's pretty successful now, two championship rings, and he's looking for another one. But he probably got tired of all the extracurricular media activities that Kyrie was bringing, and no one had to deal with that anymore. If I'd have to speculate, but I don't know.
Right. And so where do you think Durant would be best served? Do you think it would be for him to stay put? Or which team do you think should go ahead and offer the package for him?
I mean, when you put a house together, you should live in it. You know, you was the one who hired the architect. You was the one who got the other architect from Philadelphia. So you as a leadership make it work. But you don't want to make it work, I guess you go buy another house. So I know he's going to probably try to get to a contender. It's easier that way.
Shaquille O'Neal here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, what's going on in your world these days? Where you had? You're here in LA. You said, what's going on? What's happening in the world of Shaquille O'Neal?
I was eating some hot pancakes until your guy called me.
Okay,
and my pancakes are cold. So thanks, Rich.
I imagine you can afford to make new pancakes, though, right? I mean,
I don't want new pancakes, Rich. I want the ones that I ordered for breakfast.
My apologies on the pancake. I guess you gotta, you know, get some pancakes cold to make an omelet. I don't know what the hell I'm saying, but at least you could do that. Yeah.
The Cowboys will win the Super Bowl this year, or I will walk butt naked down the 101 for one exit.
I think you, in, you know, years ago, Shaq, you said that the Cowboys were going to win it, and you dress as a cheerleader or something like that. And
I did. I did.
But we haven't seen that. So, butt naked from cold water to Laurel. It's just 1 mile. I mean, like what stretch of the 101 are we talking about here?
Woodman to
what do we got?
Ed, Rich, you know what's crazy?
What?
I was getting ready to say from cold water to Laurel.
See, we're like great minds, Shaquille. Great minds, man. So it's just 1 mile. It's 1 mile, butt naked.
All right, deal.
For 1 mile.
Deal.
Okay. And are you, before you let you go to your pancakes, you happy that Charles didn't make the move? You happy about that?
Listen, Charles is my best friend, and whenever he would have decided, I would have been happy for him.
But I would have missed you guys together.
Actually,
I would have missed you guys together.
I would have missed us together, too. But listen, Charles was also one of the great players that didn't have a chance to make tremendous amount of money. So I know there's a lot of controversy with the money and the organization and all that, but anytime a guy can get $50 to $70 million at 55 or 56 years old, I wouldn't have wanted him to taking that job. But he's going to be back with us, so we're going to have another great year. We're going to argue, and we're going to fight.
I love
it. One day, I'm going to just reach across early and punch Charles right in his face.
Well, I mean Kenny's sitting there, too. Is that when you're going to figure out what the price of gas is, Shaquille? Yeah. Is that what you're talking about when you're talking about the price of gas?
You know, they don't like my theory on how I save money for gas.
About filling it. So you still fill up half a tank? Is that what you're saying? At the half tank, that's when you fill up? That's what you got?
I do. Yeah.
Okay.
All the time.
Makes sense. I'm with you. I'm Team Shaq on pain. All right. Take care of yourself, Shaquille. Thank you for the time. Go back to your pancakes. And I hope for your sake that the 101 from Laurel to Coldwater or vice versa stays Shaq free for your sake.
All right. Deal.
Always. Oh, by the way, it's Susie's birthday tomorrow. Don't forget to text her. Okay.
All right. I will.
Do that. Thanks for the call, Shaq. You be well. That's Shaquille O'Neal, everybody. You're on the Rich Eisen.
Shaq Diesel.
The one and only.
It's Tom Brady's birthday tomorrow. Susie and TB12 share a birthday.
That's right.
Both fine individuals.
The tampered Tom Brady. The tampered with Tom.
The SS-12 system works quite well.
Yes. The SS-12.
You know, I was just sitting there thinking about Shaq and just how truly dominant in the early 2000s he was.
He's the greatest.
It was just that Lakers run. I mean, you know, I was angry every year because the Lakers were winning. But, man, that man was unguardable. There was nothing
I know
you could do to Shaq. It was amazing.
Well, how about him saying that that Russell was the first
big that was nice
old school
to him,
big man that was nice to him?
Well, you know, the story always was the way Shaq told it, that when he was a teenager, he had met David Robinson and he said that David wasn't that nice to him, so it kind of carried over. And he said, every time I played David Robinson, I tried to put him through the hoop, so to speak. So,
for him.
He's definitely said that before.
But well, if we put up that photograph from the Hall of Fame when they went in, the class went in, and there was Bill Russell to welcome them in there, right, with Kareem. They were all on the
floor. They were all there.
David and Kareem's on the stage. Right?
I mean, it's definitely six of the 10 greatest centers of all time.
Look at that. Right?
Oof.
That is that Zell right there laughing his ass off, right?
Yep.
Wow. Bill Russell.
A lot of talent in that picture. Yeah,
look at that.
We got to get Barkley on to tell the story about a Russell flipping him off, right? Remember that happened?
Yeah. Was that during the ESPYs?
Was that what it was?
I think it was the ESPYs,
so.
Yeah.
Remember
Bill Russell gave him, showed him who number one is?
Just laugh.
He was trying to, like, sneak it.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's get a news update on the other side, Christopher. How's that sound?
Let's do it.
All right, we'll get a news update because there's so much a popping here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Back here, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Our friends at NetSuite want to know if you think that potentially your business is being affected by some old software that you're using, some old equipment that you might be utilizing. Because if you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business. Inflation's running rampant, supply chains are clogged, labor market's a little tight. What does that mean for margins, you might be wondering? Every business is not in the dark, however. Over 31,000 businesses know their numbers because they use NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, planning, budgeting, and of course, inventory, so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, improve margins. Everything you need all in one place. In 2022, profit is the new growth, so NetSuite helps you identify rising costs, automate your manual business processes, and see where you save money. Know your numbers, know your business, and get to know how NetSuite can be the source of truth for your entire company. Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richradio right now. netsuite.com/richradio. netsuite.com/richradio. That was a fun chat right there with Shaquille O'Neal. Add him to the folks who think that Durant should not be acquired by the Celtics at the expense of coughing up Jaylen Brown.
I feel more and more better about my take every day when people like Shaq join my side.
You and I, we're lockstep in that. right from jump.
Don't do it, man. Don't do it.
Stay the course.
Stay the course. We're the betting favorite to win the title.
You got Malcolm Brogdon.
Stay the course.
You picked up Danilo Gallinari, who's been so patently disappointing everywhere he's been.
Hold on a second. Wow, that is bold, Cotton.
Whoa.
I mean, come on.
Come on now.
That's rough.
He's there to be the 7th, 8th guy.
That's it.
Give me 15 minutes.
That'll work.
Make 3 threes, a couple rebounds, well, play some D.
How many spots didn't use him as the 7th, 8th guy for 15 minutes in spot?
Well, he started for the Hawks.
Yeah.
Just saying. We're fine.
Okay.
Stay the course.
I agree. 844-204-RICH. We'll take some phone calls right here. Do you got a news update for me?
Yeah, I got some items.
All right, hit it, please. Items. Go ahead and hit it right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
All right, Chris.
All right, if you're just joining us, top story today in the National Football League, guys. Miami Dolphins, stripped of its 2023 first-round pick, 2024 third-round pick, violation of the league policy regarding the integrity of the game. Following a six-month investigation, the league found the Dolphins, primarily Stephen Ross, who is the owner, and the vice chairman, Bruce Beal, violated the anti-tampering policy on three different occasions involving Tom Brady and Sean Payton agent, both their agents, Don Yee. Wow, crazy. Meanwhile, Ross was fined $1.5 million and suspended through October 17th. He also is stripped of any participation in the league meetings and any committees that he is on.
There you go. Do we have a statement? Stephen Ross's statement. Here we go. The independent investigation cleared our organization on any issues relating to tanking and all of Brian Flores' other allegations. About that. As I've said all along, these allegations were false, malicious, and defamatory, and this issue is now put to rest. With regards to tampering, I strongly disagree with the conclusions and the punishment. However, I will accept the outcome because the most important thing is that there be no distractions for our team as we begin an exciting and winning season. I will not allow anything to get in the way of that, says Stephen Ross. Another way to put it is $1.5 million. I got that. I have my man Turnbull right here cutting the check. Also, he's got, another draft pick, by the way, next year. Do you know that?
Yeah, because they had two number ones.
The Trey Lance, that's from the 49ers trade.
So they forfeit their own, but they still have the 49ers pick.
Maybe they should take whatever the better of the two is.
That seems fair to me.
You know, whatever the better of the two is. Maybe that's the better way to do it. Brian Flores takes a little bit of issue with the way that Stephen Ross characterized it through the Miami Dolphins. Here we go. Thankful that the NFL's investigator found my factual allegations against Stephen Ross are true. At the same time, I'm disappointed to learn that the investigator minimized Mr. Ross's offers and pressure to tank games, especially when I wrote and submitted a letter at the time to Dolphins executives documenting my serious concerns regarding the subject at the time, which the investigator has in her possession. While the investigator found that the Dolphins had engaged in impermissible tampering of unprecedented scope and severity, Mr. Ross will avoid any meaningful consequence. There's nothing more important when it comes to the game of football itself than the integrity of the game. When the integrity of the game is called into question, fans suffer and football suffers. This is Brian Flores.
Yeah, basically they found that Ross did throw out that $100,000 number, but he was just kind of like kidding. Like, haha, I just say funny things.
Well, let me get the exact phrase here since we're going to hop in on this. So, because this is the statement from the National Football League early on. Here we go. According to this statement, again, the $100,000 comment to lose games, there are differing recollections about the wording, timing, and context. However phrased, such a comment was not intended or taken to be a serious offer, nor was the subject pursued in any respect by Mr. Ross or anyone else at the club. Clearly, Brian Flores took it as serious offer.
Yeah, he heard it a different way.
And maybe the reason why it wasn't pursued by Ross or anyone else at the club is because Brian Flores put it in writing, started a paper trail saying that's not good. And if I was a part of the staff of the Miami Dolphins in any way, shape, or form, who had Mr. Ross's back at that point in time, I would say, let's not talk about that anymore. And Flores won enough games to cause his firing to reach the level in so many places of, like, what's that about? But then again, if he's writing a letter and the owner knows he wrote a letter about this and took that seriously, and let's just say he didn't mean it as seriously, I would, as the owner, suddenly not like my coach very much. So I'm just trying to let you know how everyone's probably viewing this thing. Wow.
It's bananas.
It is bananas. And let this, I guess, be a lesson. You're going to lose two draft choices and $1.5 million. Maybe the league, what they need to do is put more teeth into the fine money for ownership. Significant.
Like what, $50 million?
Don't you think somebody wouldn't reach out to Tom Brady or Sean Payton in the world if they know that's what's on the line? Now, I also don't know if owners are going to say, let's fine everybody around right. this room a little bit more. But when you're talking about how much each team is making off of television money, $1.5 million is just, you know, it's going to come out of somebody's budget.
Yeah, Stephen Ross has a net worth of $8.2 billion.
Oof. So. What else you got over there, Chris?
A couple more football items before we get to the baseball. We got football this week, guys. Hall of Fame game Thursday night in Canton, Ohio. Jaguars and Raiders.
Yes.
Two key players for Jacksonville will not be on the field. Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne will not be playing.
There you go.
Not be playing.
This is the way, you know, not be this is where he's going to go. We're not going to test the Liz Frank injury out there in Canton, Ohio, I guess. So we're not going to do that.
And a couple of Broncos items. You know, they get new ownership taking over, Rob Walton and his group. They added Lewis Hamilton.
Ah.
If you're not familiar with him, one of the most famous Formula One drivers on the planet. He's joining the ownership group along with former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice.
Yeah, they needed the money.
And bad news for the Broncos on the field.
Uh-oh.
Wide receiver Tim Patrick just got carted off after making a leaping, crazy catch and twisted his leg coming down.
Speaking of hurt wide receivers, how you feeling over there, TJ Jefferson? You okay? Over there? Oh, you got to turn your mic. If we're gonna give TJ the opportunity to turn his mic on and off.
I mean.
Well, I just turned off a second because I took a drink or something.
Yeah, okay.
It's. Let's put it this way. If you are between the ages of 22 and 30 and can catch a football, please report to Oxnard, California.
Dallas
right now.
Cowboys wide receiver James Washington suffers a right foot fracture, needs surgery, out 6 to 10 weeks. Landed awkwardly on a jump ball play with Trevon Diggs in his 7-on-7 drills. I have three letters for you, sir. Three letters for you.
Oh, there's probably the same three letters I tweeted out this morning at 7 a.m.
Oh, I did not see your tweet.
Well, you never do.
Does it start with one of them?
We could do, it's a three-letter puzzle.
Okay. Wheel of Fortune style?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you have a sound bite? Do you have a sound drop of a spinning wheel or the Wheel of Fortune, like do-do-do-do, which, by the way, you hear in Las Vegas, Nevada, walking through every casino.
And the airport.
Non-stop, exactly. While you're going, where you're going to the Cinnabon?
Are you trying to leave?
Gene Turkovich to make you something?
Takovic.
Well, at any rate, I should know that since Gene consumes the Rich Eisen podcast, as we heard on episode 2 of Better Call Saul, right?
Like way back in the day.
At any rate, the three letter. There's three letters in the puzzle.
There are three.
The clue is Pro Bowl wide receiver.
Pro Bowl wide receiver.
I don't know what music this is. Terrible wheel music.
Thanks, guys.
What would you like to do? Would you like to guess a letter, or do you want to buy a vowel?
The vowel's already bought.
Okay, it's an O.
It's an O.
Yes.
And on the board.
Then the letter that comes after A and before C.
Okay. There's a B.
And there's a couple of these letters in my name.
J.
You know.
Yes.
Long way to go.
That did take a minute.
If I'm Jerry Jones, I am sniveling to one Odell Beckham Jr. and say, how you feeling, man?
I mean, obviously, now, he's not going to be ready till midseason,
good
but
enough.
Still. You know,
I mean, Will Fuller, Emmanuel Sanders, bring Cole Beasley back. All these guys
Hilton.
Available.
There's some guys out there.
Get your damn act together.
T.Y. Hilton's available?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I put on Twitter, I'm like, we might as well sign OBJ or DeSean Jackson if for no other reason than Jackson. To avoid that 4 for 160 and 2 touchdowns that they're going to put on us if they happen to play us this year. Because every year we play, those guys just destroy us. So might as well sign one
you
of them.
Covet what you see every day, I heard, on the Silence of the Lambs. Yes. So we should put the Odell Beckham Jr. in the basket right now. Do it now.
Why not? But, I mean, I don't know what it would cost. I don't know if he's even interested. Please. But
Juan Soto's going to the Padres, guys. So sorry, TJ, another blow. I know you were counting on him for the Mets.
That's all right.
Massive prospect haul for the Nationals. Some really good players in there.
What do you got?
But not Eric Hosmer.
Eric Hosmer was originally in this trade.
He was. He was the player to be named later.
He reminded. He said, check the fine print. I have a no trade clause and specifically to Washington.
Yeah.
How do you think Nationals fans are feeling right now? How do you
think I don't know. I mean, think about it. A few years ago, they had Trey Turner, Bryce Harper, Juan Soto.
Anthony Rendon.
And Max Scherzer.
They won a World Series.
Without Harper, but yes.
They needed Howie Kendrick.
Actually, you know, it's pretty ironic. Juan Soto's last home run as a member of the Washington Nationals came off of Max Scherzer. Kind of weird. In the deals, Mackenzie Gore, left-handed pitcher who they just paid. And then prospects Robert Hassel, C.J. Abrams, James Wood. James Wood.
James Wood. Apparently,
Wood's a big-time player.
That's
yeah.
the one.
Yeah, big-time outfielder. A lot of power.
That's the one. I'm being told.
Yeah, you're correct about
He's a Willie McCovey type is what I saw on Twitter.
Oh, well, that's high praise.
That's an old statement.
That's high praise. Tatis took batting practice yesterday for the first time in a long time, so he's on his way back. Obviously, that lineup
will be
stacked.
So what are we going to do? We're going to put Soto fifth to protect?
No, Soto's batting leadoff for second, I think.
He's going to get on.
Yeah, and then let Tatis and Machado and Bell bring him home.
And Cronenworth didn't move, and Profar didn't move, and they still have Hosmer.
They're all still there.
Holy crap. Bell's in the lineup, too.
Their World Series odds cut in half after the trade.
What were they?
About 20 to 1. Now they're 10 to 1.
Can I see the wild card standings as they currently do we have that? I want to see it. Because it's the ship has sailed on the division, correct? Correct.
Well,
the ship has sailed on the division. It doesn't matter if the Padres win every last damn game.
They're 12 back.
Yeah, the Dodgers still have to. You still need another team in front of you to collapse. And that's one thing the Dodgers aren't going to do is collapse.
Most likely not.
Okay. So the wild card standings right now, the Brewers would play the Phillies and the Braves would play the Padres. The defending world champion Braves.
Oh, baby.
Would take on this Padres team that has Soto leading off. Well, Cronenworth would sit there second, right, to set the table for Tatis and...
Cronenworth leads off and then just goes Soto, Tatis, Machado, Bell right in a row. I mean, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Wow. And what, you got Darvish and Musgrove and now Hader on the back end of the pen? Boy, if I'm the Braves, I want to win that division. I don't want any piece of that team in the first round. None of it. None of it.
None of it.
And if I'm the Metropolitans, I am not losing that lead because now you got the Padres coming to town in the first round. Short series. Padres-Dodgers games. Here we go.
Oh, we got a little surprise coming today.
What's a surprise?
Oh, you don't know?
What is a surprise?
Oh, you didn't know? The GOAT is back tonight, baby.
Oh, yeah, DeGrom is pitching good.
Let's go.
DeGrom's season debut.
Let's go. Hey.
Look at TJ. All right. Over under our number of innings before DeGrom feels a tug. What is that, six innings?
Six
and a third?
Two and a half.
Six and a third?
Hey, if we get
he's
six
not
out
pitching
of them?
Six tonight. He's on a five-inning limit, I would imagine.
Five, yeah, but, okay. So,
but Chris, when you're, minute, when you're getting minute, nine, you're throwing nine pitches an inning.
Who do the Mets play tonight?
Who's the Nets.
Who?
The Nationals.
Okay. Playing the Nationals.
Oh, God. So DeGrom, five innings.
No soda.
Five innings, 15 batters, over-under on strikeouts, nine.
Oh, that's a little high.
That's hot. That's
I'll take it.
Let's put it. I mean, I could find out what his prop is.
Over.
I mean, look, he could mow them all down, you know. But like I said, five.
Here we go.
Five is probably good.
DeGrom's season debut. Here we roll.
Oh, buddy, let me tell you something.
And what's the Mets lead in the division right now? It's two.
Two. Oh, we have 12 games left with the Braves. We got a 5-game series coming up.
As Stuart Scott used to call it, spandex thin.
DeGrom strikeout prop tonight is 6.
I don't condone this material. That's why I'm not involved in
this. All right, one last news item, guys, real quick.
By the way, do you have the news that the Yankees are the first team to 70 wins?
Yeah, that was yes.
Is your news update also include Aaron Judge's 43rd home
run? Did you see
run?
My poll question
I
yesterday?
I did see it, yeah, and people are pissed off thinking that you're forgetting about Hank Aaron. You're talking about
single-season home run record.
You're basically saying, is there an asterisk
I'm saying
on
if
Barry
he
Bonds?
Hits 62, that's it. He's the home run king for one year.
I agree.
Yep.
Well, obviously, I'm biased.
Look, but Sosa, McGuire, Bonds, boom. Those guys are out. Yes. Sorry. I know Sosa hit 66. McGuire at 70 and Bonds at 73.
Right now, if somebody is spinning it in the zone or missing with their fastball,
he's unbelievable.
He is so locked in, and he's hitting it oppo, and he's hitting it to the, you know, he's pulling it into the gap. He is off the charts, and the Yankees beat the Mariners last night. And by the way, the same lead you have over the Braves, the Yankees have over the Astros.
I want no peace. If they let him go, I am going to be so.
They're not going to let him go. It's going to be if he wants to go, Mike.
I know.
They're going to pay him all of the money, which is part of the reason why they didn't maybe get Soto. They know they're going to pay him all of the money. They know it, and he's theirs, and we're his.
The Nationals aren't the Yankees. I mean, the Yankees are actually still.
No, the Nationals are definitely not the Yankees when it comes. They're selling their team, and the Yankees are never going to sell their team. So. You got one more item over there, Christopher?
Yeah, we talk about the LIV Tour. Greg Norman sat down with Tucker Carlson yesterday and said that before Greg Norman became kind of the president or whatever he is at LIV, the offer went out to Tiger Woods between $700 and $800 million.
Damn.
Which Tiger
that's the next. By the way, that's the next version of the offer. TJ, there's going to be a 9-show series on Greg Norman trying to Greg said it was before he was the CEO.
Before he was in charge.
He would have been able to close the deal on Tiger. How about Tiger basically saying, yeah, I don't need $700 to $800 million. I am fine with what I've got and the legacy that I have, and I'm going to fight for the tour, the PGA Tour here.
That should tell you all you need to know about.
And he also told Tucker that, you know, he doesn't care of people's opinions of what the LIV Tour is doing, and because there are so many other businesses that do business with Saudi Arabia, so why are they the only ones being called out? Because you're the only ones trying to destroy the PGA Tour in the process. And he keeps saying, well, we're trying to grow the game. I'm like, how are you? Can we drop the growing the game thing? That is not why he's doing this. He has been totally known in the sports world for a long time, having a major axe to grind against the PGA Tour and the powers that be within it. And he found an incredibly well-moneyed, don't care about profit group of people in Saudi Arabia and the government to fund it. He has struck it. And that's what this is doing. That's what he is doing. And he's probably making a ton of money doing it. It's for profit. Can we just call it for what it is? Please. And then growing the game. I don't know how. I mean, what? You're tying your entire brand to Trump? Is that what you're doing? Is that how you're growing the game of golf? You know? Having your golf tournaments in front of Marjorie Taylor Greene? Is that how you're growing the game of golf? Because I'll tell you what, that's turning it off for me. For this one guy here who loves a game of golf.
Love golf.
You know? And I'd rather watch Tony Finau win back-to-back weeks of a PGA Tour for a tournament that doesn't have the same field of individuals there. I mean, the LIV Tour does have an incredible array of players within it.
They have some really good players.
Incredible.
But...
And I do believe that the train has left the station. Money. Interesting that the PGA Tour now has $10 million more prize money next year than the LIV Tour announced that they've got for 14 events. for their 44 events happens to be larger than what the LIV Tour is putting out in 14 events. And there's no question the reason why they're doing that is because the LIV Tour has created that environment. All of a sudden, they kicked over a few rocks with their sponsors and they found the money.
Which is what Phil has been saying for the whole 2 years. Like, the PGA Tour is sitting on this enormous surplus of cash.
Is he going to go back? No.
I don't think he's welcome.
Just me. I don't know. I mean, after a while, maybe he does.
Maybe.
And maybe they do somehow all get together. I don't know. It seems like battle lines have been particularly drawn. But, I'll just shoot it straight here. You know, if you want to grow the game of golf and get me to sit down and watch it, I don't need to see standing in a box somebody who's accused me of having a space laser. Let's take a break here. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. 844-204-RICH. Tom Pelissero is still in the Lions camp. We'll update you on some other NFL news in a moment. Let's go to Tim in Ohio. I'll take his phone call. What's up, Tim? You're calling in about the LIV Tour? What's on your mind?
Yeah, this is Don. I'm just curious. I get a lot of people saying that they're not growing the game. I think that in a way that they are growing the game, because these people, the golfers are independent contractors. They're paying their own expenses. So if you're Dustin Johnson, you're paying for your brother's hotel room. You're paying for your own health insurance.
Uh-huh.
You're paying for everything. I work in sales. Let's say everyone on the Rich Eisen show decided that you were going to make them independent contractors and they had to perform in order and they got to pay their own way from a health insurance standpoint. So there is something to be said there. And Manchester City is owned by the Saudi government in the English Premier League.
No, I totally get that. Let me just say this, Tim, and I appreciate you calling in and lend perspective about how, you know, the economics work. I am 1,000% up for watching a LIV Tour golf event and seeing these players compete. I'd be totally up for it. I don't like the format, to be honest with you. I don't like 54 holes.
Completely agree.
I don't like the shotgun start. Call me a traditionalist. I think it should be four rounds. I think there should be a cut. I think that's the way it should go, that not everybody gets, you know, money for competing. I would totally be up for watching that. But to me, you know, the approach that many of the players have taken and that Norman has taken, and it turns me off. I'm, you know, like it's essentially telling me we don't need you. We don't want you. We don't need you. We got all these players, and eventually you'll come around, and the PGA Tour is going to have to come around. Because we're here to stay and go, you know, yeah. Like, I don't care what you have to think, you know, like, I don't care what you have to say, says Greg Norman. I mean, that's not really great customer service, is it? You know?
I don't think the PGA is doing great customer service, so I play a lot of golf.
I'm sorry, I lost you there, Tim. Say that again? Ah, man. I wanted to hear his other... Put him on hold. I wanted to hear his varying viewpoint.
He's on hold.
What's the PGA Tour's not doing great customer service is what he said? I'm wondering what do you think he was responding to that? Do you know where he might be going?
I couldn't see where he was going, no.
All right, you want to pop him back on to see if he... Because again, I just want to... You there, Tim?
I think Adam's
back.
You there, Tim?
Yeah.
Okay, so you were saying you don't think the PGA is doing great customer service? How? What do you mean by that?
Because they're making it so hard to qualify. If I'm a pretty good golfer and I want to get on the corn, they eliminated Q School for the PGA Tour. So now my options are to go play on the Korn Ferry Tour, which if you look it up, the deadline yesterday for the first round of qualifying was $3,500 to play in the event. Every event that you progress, the money to qualify goes up. So at the end of the day, to qualify for the PGA Tour, it costs you close to $15,000. So I think they're growing the game from an employee standpoint, and PGA Tour is obviously reacting to that, saying we're going to raise the purse. They should treat them as employees from a contractual standpoint. If we're going to require you to play X number of events, then they have to sort of say, all right, we're going to take care of your caddy. We're going to take care of everything. I've heard from these golfers and everyone involved with it is that that's the reason. the health insurance. It's the caddies getting taken care of.
Right. Mark Hubbard told us, and thanks for the call, Mark Hubbard told us that when he makes the an event, the child care is a significant aspect of his.
Yeah, the PGA Tour provides all of that.
Again, I'm just saying, I would love to watch all of these guys compete against one another. I just don't like the format, and I don't feel like the welcome mat is out for me. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't. But
just seems
they're not going away.
There's a certain type of golfer with a certain personality that's joining the WIV Tour, and you know, those guys aren't for me. I enjoy watching the regular PGA Tour every week with guys and stories like Tony Finau.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. We've got Dalvin Cook coming up right here on the Rich Eisen Show. And then after him, the comedian Paul Verzi is here in studio. He's got a terrific new Netflix special out, and we'll have some fun and some laughs, which we could all use. Certainly Adam, since a lot of people were very pissed off with my live take and gave him an earful. He just wrote back, "That is true, Rich." That's what he wrote on.
Like, it's Adam's fault. He's like, "Hey, tell Richie sucks." No, hang up.
He's taking copious notes. So we've got another edition of our new segment. Oh, I think this is great.
This is
very excited about this. Once again, it was such a smash hit in our pilot. It's now going to be a regular occurrence here on the program. This moment in today in Bill Belichick's press conference. Here we go.
Today's Bill Belichick press conference moment.
Well, we prefer to win.
Bill, are you happy with where you guys are right now at this point in camp?
One day in the pads. We've got a long way to go.
One day.
What kind of question is that?
I mean, what are you doing asking that thing? Ask that kind of question.
There you go. One day in pads. Happy where things are going right now?
We're going to win the Super Bowl. He should have responded.
Yeah, I've just my you know, I'm of course I'm happy, but just we haven't told my face yet for you. Would you like to tell my face?
I mean, it's fantastic,
crazy.
You know, and it truly, I think that's what it is. If you ask him the right question, he's going to expound. You know what I mean? Like, he'll expound on it.
People haven't learned. They haven't learned.
He gets accused of hating the media. And again, I haven't been on the beat, so I haven't been there, you know, day in and day out. But, you know, he makes himself available to the media quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
He talks multiple times.
Don't you think?
He's like, he does a Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
He does.
Right?
He speaks quite a bit to the media.
Yeah.
Well, because he wants to give folks like you all the information that's required if the proper question is asked.
You got to ask him.
I think, personally, I think he is happy with the way the camp is going so far.
I think so, too.
Please. Why wouldn't he?
Mac is going to be, oof.
Mac, Ramondre, Devontae Parker is killing it.
Ramondre, that's your guy, right, TJ? Turn on your microphone.
Man, if we were doing dollar fines today, TJ, you're at like 10 already.
What's going on?
TJ's going to learn.
I'm on Twitter and I wasn't paying attention.
You know, I'm on Twitter. Are we boring you that you now start scrolling?
I like to know what's going on. Got to see if any
Belichick's press conference moment happens. He checks out.
Got to see what Billy Epler's doing.
I don't even know what an audio drop is.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.